Last May, Karen Given went to visit the athletes of the CPL, the Cyber Athletes Professional League.
Chill, guys. Don't go in.
This is Counter-Strike, a virtual world where teams of terrorists, played by humans at a computer, run missions, guard hostages, blow up bombs, and each other, while teams of counter-terrorists, also played by humans, try to stop them. Loud gunfire and splashes of blood are common, though at times the violence and mayhem is accompanied by more civilized sounds. Members of Team AP try to safeguard their hostages while a virtual jukebox in the game plays opera. Eight teams are here today to try to qualify for the next round of competition in the Cyber Athlete Professional League. This is the first CPL qualifier for the PC gaming arena, a dark storefront crammed with more than 20 computers in a Manchester, Connecticut mall. Qualifiers like this one have been held over the past three weekends and will continue through June in more than 30 U.S. cities, as well as South America, South Africa, Yugoslavia, and Australia. And in July, the world's best Counter-Strike teams will meet in Dallas, Texas, for the CPL World Championships. To some, it might seem strange to host an international tournament to determine the world's best computer game team, but not to CPL founder and president, Angel Munoz.
We see this as a natural evolution of sports. I know that most people still don't see it that way, but when I envision this, I think 20, 30, 40 years in the future, as the actual games themselves become more involving and become actually, I think at some point they'll be somewhat indistinguishable from reality. I mean, they'll become that real and that much more compelling.
At the CPL's first tournament in 1997, 300 competitors and a handful of spectators showed up. This year, the league is expecting more than 500 competitors and 2,500 spectators in Dallas, and will reach tens of thousands of fans on the internet. The CPL's most successful player is Jonathan Wendell, who's earned more than $100,000 and a new car in tournaments over the past 2 years. Most professional gamers, even the ones who win, earn far less than that. But the hope of winning cash while competing in a game they'd play anyway brought many players to Connecticut's qualifier.
I've been thinking about that all week.
John Kraft is 20 years old. Better known as Acid Frost to his gaming friends, Kraft and his teammates don't have a very good chance of making it to the next level of competition, let alone the finals in July. But that doesn't stop them from dreaming about the $100,000 in cash prize money to be given away in Dallas.
I've been thinking about that for the past, like, 2 or 3 weeks since I signed up. And I paid the $25. I was like, hey, this is a small little investment. It'll pay off, possibly. You know, if we win a good $100,000 from $25, that's not bad at all. So.
Players here take the tournament seriously. Many, like Kraft, are smartly dressed in button-down shirts and ties to show off their professionalism. One of the most serious teams at the qualifier is the ECA, or East Coast Alliance.
I know for a fact,
Sweet.
FOS, if we play them in this map, they're going to be shooting right across with an op. I know them.
Right here, so
all
I won't come
do is use that.
The ECA pours over level maps to work out final strategies. At an earlier meeting, they carefully positioned different colored sticky tabs on the maps to indicate the five members of the team and the direction of their fire. Every member of the ECA is wearing a shirt and tie, except Raf, who woke up late and came dressed in a T-shirt and baseball cap. Still, this team seems to know what they're doing.
In position.
I got one across the bridge.
Watching that.
Copy.
I got two across
the bridge. Watching that. The ECA takes to the computers for a 15-minute practice round, and things get even more serious. Less experienced teams play the game with their speakers turned all the way up, but members of the ECA wear headsets with microphones so that their opponents can't hear what's going on.
He's across the bridge.
He's across the bridge.
Roger that.
Nading.
Throw a grenade up there. Throw a grenade.
Yeah.
Nice job. Nice.
Developing a well-organized team like this takes a lot of practice, and the ECA takes it seriously. Like most of the players here, they practice almost every day. Renee, a student at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, is no exception. She's the only woman signed up for the tournament, but despite her teammates' promise to let her play as an alternate when the team is ahead, she'll spend most of her day acting as team mascot for Clan FOS. Still, she's not worried about being left out.
I'm not quite as good. I don't spend as much time playing. I try to balance my life, but these kids play 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day. For me, I probably play 6 hours a day or so, which is kind of sad.
And that's balanced.
Between school and hanging out with other friends, I'd say so.
5 seconds, guys. 5 seconds.
After more than an hour of the requisite technical glitches and computer problems, the tournament finally gets underway. Norm, who at 31 is one of today's oldest competitors, explains the game.
There's counter-terrorist force and then there's a terrorist force. The terrorist force either has to blow something up with a bomb or the counter-terrorist has to rescue the hostages from the terrorists.
As players dart down long hallways and sneak around ammunition boxes, it becomes clear self-preservation is not exactly the point.
It's more important to win the round than it is to survive. Like a good terrorist. To the death.
That level of realism has some worried about the effects Counter-Strike and games like it have on the young people who play them. Earlier this week, a California congressman proposed a bill that would make it illegal in the state to rent or sell games like Counter-Strike to anyone under the age of 17 without parental consent. Representative Joe Baca says he was moved to introduce the bill after an incident late last month when a German high school student shot and killed 16 people and eventually himself in a school rampage. It took just hours for the German media to report that the killer was a fan of computer games and Counter-Strike was his favorite. It's a correlation that has Angel Munoz concerned.
It was incredible to me to see how quickly some reporter found out that he had played a computer game in the past. And so the entire dialogue about that shooting was, again, that game create this terrible reality. What was sort of a side note to it was that this person was a member of two gun clubs. He was a sharpshooter. He had licenses for these weapons and had a history of an unstable personality. And these very, important realities became secondary to the fact that he had played a computer game. This is when I feel that dialogue is needed.
Still, Munoz says he's not ready to ignore concerns about the effects violent games have on players. He's keeping his eye on studies which have tried to link violent video games to real-world violence, all of which, he says, have been inconclusive. He hopes that encouraging competitors to play on teams in a social environment will mitigate any possible effects of the game. And, he says, he has to rely on parents to do some of the work.
My daughter is 4 and my son is 6 years old, and they're both exposed to the games that we use in the league. And I feel it's my responsibility to educate them about, A, the difference between virtual violence and real violence, and also to make sure that they understand that it's about competition and not about the violence aspect of it.
Yo, move! Yo, George, move! Let's shoot you!
Despite the constant gunfire, it's hard to imagine anyone at the PC gaming arena becoming a mass murderer. The players here are clean-cut and polite, and the competition is heated but pleasant. Eric, who plays under the name of Druid, is helping to marshal today's tournament. Under CPL rules, he's allowed to disqualify teams who act out, but he can't imagine needing to do that.
We're not punks. We're not like, we don't swear all the time. A lot of us have jobs. I work at Cigna. I mean, we have a lot of people who work like in insurance jobs. I mean, one of the guys who works as an inspector for bombs in an airport. I mean, we're regular guys. We're not any of the like fringe elements of society.
Today's competitors might not be on the fringe of society, but just outside the dark den of the gaming arena, a near-perfect New England spring day beckons. By the time the players emerge at closing time tonight, they'll have missed it. For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given in Manchester, Connecticut.